Ebenezer, friends and family. We're just so happy to just be back in this place one more time, making connections through Jesus Christ and His grace and mercy. I pray that you have moved your clocks back an hour. It is fall back today. If you haven't, you're really confused right now because you probably got up early and you're trying to figure out which way you're going today. So it is fall back, and we just thank God for another day that He has made. Thank you for staying connected to ebcnc.com. We've got so much that are going on there: Monday Bible studies, Tuesday Bible studies, Wednesday's Bible studies, and of course our 10 o'clock online. And we've got our 8:45 in-person services and 10:45 in-person services. We encourage you to stay abreast of the calendar, the things that are going on. We've got some afternoon events that'll be taking place in person at other churches with masks. And so the gospel is going forth. And I just want to thank you. I thank you for your many prayers for the Ebenezer family. We still have those who are going through, those who are struggling. Thank you for your giving. Whatever forms that comes from. Scriptures say God loves a cheerful giver, and you truly have exhibited that in this season and time, and we thank you for that. Whether you're giving in our in-person services or sending it into our secure mailbox or using our app to give, thank you, or sending a text to someone, or going by and just embracing them, or sharing times in Bible studies, whatever way the Lord is leading you in giving. We thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Well, I'm just thinking about the scriptures that we're going to get in today as we are back into the series of distractions and fears. And I pray that you're ready. So let's prepare our hearts to receive the word of God.
Our scripture lesson today is going to come from the book of Ezekiel, meaning God's strength. And if any time we do need God's strength, this was a time of Ezekiel, God giving him visions. And when people talk about vision, they think you're crazy. But if you don't have a vision, you're going to perish. Now, it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 14th month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Shebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of the king Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzah, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river of Shebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind come out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, as in the brightness was about it. And out of the midst of thereof the colors of the amber, and out of the midst of the fire. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. My God is is my own and all. God is my joy in the time of sorrow.
Saved, I pray you are too, and to be connected to the body of Christ. I remember as we've been in this series of distraction and fears, I really wanted to memorize that 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I want you to get that deep down in your heart as we are in battle. Before we go any further and get into these scriptures of the day, let's go on a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Lord, I just pray for those who may be looking in that are not saved. Would you help today be their day? Help them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Lord, I thank you for the saints that are viewing and listening in, that they be encouraged as we enter into your word. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today as we get into that second part of the message, I want you to focus in on Daniel 6 and 11. Daniel 6 and 11, as we continue on this journey, a powerful journey with the man of God, standing and trusting in the Lord. It reads, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." I want to speak from a title today, "Let God Fight Your Battles." Let God fight your battles. Man, this journey with Daniel, I pray, has encouraged you, has increased your faith in some sense to knowing that no matter what the situations are, that God is faithful. Just a little review from last time. Remember, we were dealing with Daniel in that 6 and 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since the early days. And we talked about prayer and thanksgiving. Remember that edict had gone out that no one could give petitions to a different God than that of King Darius in that environment. And this was a setup by the colleagues of Daniel to get him to go against the king so that he would be thrown into the den of the lions. But Daniel held on to his faith. Some points in review from last time, blessed in the enemy's land. We learned that even though Daniel, he's 80 plus years old, he's in the enemy's land because of the captivity that Israel was allowed to go in because of their disobedience. He has been blessed, represented all times. We looked at Daniel's life, and he has represented all the years being in this Babylonian and Persian area. He has been representing God. We talked about haters. Anybody remember that point? Those people had gathered around, and they did not like Daniel. He was an outsider, and they wanted to do all that they could do to pull him down. And then we talked about above reproach. They looked as deep as they could in his life, and they could not find anything. And then they set up a trap. All they could do is come up with this edict, and they knew Daniel was going to continue to pray to his God, but yet they wanted to trap him. And then we talked about preparation for the battle, and we're in that transition point that Daniel is praying still, seeking the Lord. Time frame is 539 BC. Daniel is on his knees. He's praying. He's seeking the Lord. Remember our transition scripture from last time, Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem. He knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Let God fight your battles. Daniel had determined he was going to keep praying. He was going to keep petitioning his God. And because he did that, it was directly against what King Darius had set up. Now, please, Darius didn't understand the proclamation that he was writing or he was signing. This was a trap set up by the other people that were jealous of Daniel. Notice Daniel 6 and 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Here's our first point. We've alluded to this. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Even when the enemy comes at us, and he will come at us, we have to stay in communication with our God. We must realize that this is a spiritual battle. Remember Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let God fight your battles. Daniel understood, I've got to stay in prayer. I'm 80 plus years old, and he realized it was God that's taken him through. It is God that has healed him. It is God that has allowed him to overcome every enemy, every obstacle. Charles Stanley said this powerful quote, "We stand tallest and strongest on our knees." Hallelujah. Saints of God, we must learn how to keep on praying. We must not diminish our prayer life. We talked about that on last Sunday, but we need to increase our prayer time, our alone time with the Lord, that we're really focusing in on Him and pushing out the distractions and fear. Oh, that our enemies would find us in prayer and giving thanks to God as they found Daniel. Remember what David proclaimed under the power of God when he was at this point of defeating Goliath, 1 Samuel 17:47. "Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." David brings out a powerful point, and this is where we see Daniel standing also, that the battle is not mine, it is the Lord. And I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, no matter what stresses are coming your way, you got to say that the battle is not mine, it is the Lord. Let God fight your battles. Look at Daniel 6:12. "And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing is true according to the law and the Medes and Persians, which does not alter." 13th verse. "So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Here's another point, big point, the accuser. The accuser. Now remember, Daniel's not going to stop praying. He's seeking Jehovah, the all-powerful God. And so this edict is saying that you can't petition your God, that Darius is the one that you petition, his God only. And Daniel understands, my God is in control. And so his accusers come at him to try to pull him down. They're always pointing fingers at Daniel, and we need to understand our accusers are pointing fingers at us. Do you know demons and the devil himself wants to take us down, and he's constantly accusing us? Let me show you Revelation 12:10. "Then I heard a voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." I am so glad to know with God we overcome the enemy. But while he's here, while he's around, we see that his time is getting short. He is accusing the children of God. He is accusing the people of God. The enemy constantly tries to trip us up in every way and form that he can find. Remember the question of doubt that he even alluded to and put into Eve's mind in Genesis 3:1. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He's constantly pointing fingers, putting in doubts, trying to get us all mixed up and confused. But I am so glad that Daniel was able to walk into this prophetic scriptures of Revelation 12:11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." Somebody say, by the blood, "and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death." Let God fight your battles. That's where we have to get to the point when the enemy's accusing us. We can just plead the blood of Jesus. We can say that God has already paid the price for us. And you know what? We're letting God fight our battles. Look at Daniel 6:14. "And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him." Here's another point, and it's actually in a question. What impact is your life making? What impact is your life making? Now, last Sunday, I actually talked about this. There was a relationship that had been built up with King Darius and Daniel. King Darius respected Daniel. He was doing everything right. His numbers were right. He was a crucial part of the kingdom of that time. And Darius recognized that. Remember, Darius was just tripped up. He was hoodwinked by these colleagues of Daniel trying to take him down, didn't realize what he had done by signing that proclamation. But notice within this scripture, Darius is doing all he can do to try to get out of this, to back out of this, to get Daniel out of this edict of being thrown into the lion's den. Notice, so much so that the king set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Saints, we don't realize how important oftentimes that our life is to those that are around us. I'm talking about how important our life is to our job and our situation and the heathens that may be there, to our family. All of us are called to be on a mission. So often we can get caught up in the situations of life and the struggles of life, but I want you to know that God is using you, and there's some people that you don't even know that are being impacted in a great way, such as King Darius was impacted by Daniel's life. 1 Corinthians actually deals with this impact that wives can make if they're connected with husbands that are unsaved. 1 Corinthians 7:16, for how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? This interaction of wife and husband, it goes for the wives living their lives, making an impact, and also for the husbands living their lives and making an impact on the wives. We need to understand that God is using us in a mighty way. We must live for Christ in this dark world. It's a dark world out there. There's struggles when we go out and we're on our jobs, when we go to the grocery stores and other places. There's struggles there, but we have to make sure that our light is shining. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Let God fight your battles. Look at Daniel 6:15. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." That 17th verse, then the stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. 18th verse, now the king went to his palace, listen to this, spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Here's another point. The test. Yes, the test. Darius, he can't get out of this. And so finally he just gives up. These people that are against Daniel, his enemies, say, "Hey, you got to go forth with this." And so Darius is like, "Okay, all right, we're going to go ahead. We're going to throw Daniel into the lion's den." And this is the testing time. This is the process. God kind of put this on my heart. I want you to hear this. Sometimes the test you are experiencing may not even be for you. Yeah, isn't that good? Some of you are going through and you think it's your test, but sometimes the test you are experiencing may not even be for you. What if God is allowing you to go through something and he already knows how you're going to come out? He already knows that you're going to keep on praying, that you know that the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord. He already knows that, but somebody else needs to see you go through. Somebody else needs to see your worship. Somebody else needs to see your prayer. They ought to be some shouts out there. You're thinking about your life and the struggles. I'm telling you, God needs examples in this world. No, notice what King Darius, who is a heathen, he says in Daniel 6:16, that last part, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." I want to say that again. Saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Did you get it? Did you hear that? That is a statement of faith by a heathen king. He doesn't even know who Jehovah is in essence. All he knows is it's the God of Daniel. It's the God that Daniel continues to pray for, but he makes a statement of faith saying, your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. I'm telling you, this heathen king has come to the point of being able to walk in faith on behalf of Daniel. That is some good news, because when we walk in our life, are we impacting others that are around them in such amazing way that people can get excited about the God that we serve just because they have seen God work in our lives and they have seen our devotion to our God? They are excited because they're like, if God is going to show up for anybody, he's going to show up for them. He's going to show up for the people that are loving him and worshiping him. Hebrews 11 and 1 talks about what's happening here. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's not forget this verse in Daniel 6, 18. Now the king went to the palace. He spent the night, look at this, fasting. Doesn't that sound like someone who's a believer? And no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. Man, he turns into an intercessor at this point. This heathen king is so enamored and focused on Daniel and realizes, man, this is a tough situation. This is a test, but I'm believing that Daniel's God is going to show up. I'm telling you, in our lives, we have to live like this, that people are looking at us and are believing that our God is going to show up. Theologian Farstead, he writes this, it is a beautiful to see how even unbelievers will sometimes pick up on the faith and morals of consistent believers whom they observe at close hand. Only too often, Christians fail their unsaved friends and relatives by not having as high standards of faith and practice as the world expects from God's people. Let God fight your battles. How are you living? Yes, we're getting closer to Thanksgiving and this holiday season, and we'll be going into Christmas. And I'm telling you, this is a time we got to get close to the Lord. We've got to know that we know that we know, because we have to be an example of God's glory. This is the time where our unsaved loved ones are coming in, and they want to see, they truly are rooting for, they want to see true Christians that are not fake. They want to see not hypocritical Christians, but people who can call on the name of the Lord, and we know that our God is going to show up. They want to see people that walk in miracle power. They want to see people that have joy, unspeakable joy, full of glory. How are you living? Are you letting God fight your battles? Look at Daniel 6:19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Here's another point. I love this one. The test turned into a testimony. Yes, hallelujah. The test turned into a testimony. Some of you need to get a praise, because you're thinking back in your life and you're like, God, I'm glad you turned the test into a testimony. Some of you just need to write testimony, because we got a testimony, because we had to go through some stuff. On last Sunday, one of my kids, they sent me this meme on what possibly Daniel looked like while he was in the lion's den. And that picture is simply that, you know, the lions were all around him, licking him. They were just having a great time. What an awesome God we serve, that even in the tough times of our life that people don't understand how we survive, we know that our God was with us. The king runs to the den early in the morning and he calls out to Daniel. Look at Daniel 6:20. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Now, I first want to bring out that the life standard was set of Daniel, 80 plus years old, and notice the king said, the God that you serve continually. You've been with him and you've been walking with him. I've seen you. There's been some board meetings that I wanted you to be at, but you were at home praying. You were seeking the Lord. You were calling out to him. And so, Daniel, I know that you've been devoted to him, but is your God able to do this? Now, we already know that Darius has already walked in faith and your God can do it. The world must know who we belong to. Yes, yes. The world must know who we belong to. Does the world know who you belong to? Now that's a tricky question, because you've got to think about your life. Do they believe you belong to the devil, or do they believe that you belong to God? But I love how Daniel politely responds to the king. He does, man. I mean, he's made it through. The lions haven't messed with him at all, but he respects the king. Daniel 6:22, my God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. What a testimony. Daniel's like, you know what? God got it. God brought me through. We don't know. It said God sent his angel. Maybe this was like a theophany with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Maybe Christ showed up himself. But he sent an angel and he closed the lion's mouth. And there were no hurt or harm came to Daniel. Daniel has a testimony from this test. Daniel even makes the hall of fame of faith walkers. Yeah, let me show you Hebrews 11:33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. Let God fight your battles. Look at Daniel 6:23. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. Somebody say believe. You could type it in the chat. He believed in his God. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into their den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Here's another point: victory and judgment. Yes, victory and judgment. Now, Daniel comes out unscathed. He doesn't have any problems. Maybe he was walking in that Psalms 91. We love that. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Maybe he was walking in that. But notice there's a flip side of this victorious life. There's also a judgment side. Daniel was innocent, but he was falsely accused. And so we understand the wages of sin is death. David speaks of this, Psalms 37, 1 and 2. He says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Let God fight your battles. We must understand, when our enemy comes against us in whatever form that is, judgment is coming. Yes, we're going to have victory. God's fighting our battles, but judgment is going to be dealt out. If only the enemy could have understood Proverbs 26, 27, whoever digs a pit will fall into it, and he who rolls a stone will have it rolled back on him. Let God fight your battles. Look at Daniel 6:25. Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwelt in the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Somebody say, go God, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure, look at this, to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? I'm telling you, this King Darius is being used in a prophetic manner to tell of the greatness of our God. Here's another point: the proclamation. Yes, the proclamation is put out. Remember that test can turn into a testimony when we allow God to fight our battles. And sometimes that test that we may be going through is not even really for us, it's for others. And God is moving in a miraculous way. When God shows up and shows out, even the world understands and recognizes his majesty. Can I say that again? When God shows up and shows out, even the world looking in, people who don't even believe can recognize God's majesty and his wonders. I've got someone that I've been dealing with, and man, they have turned against God. And I've been praying. I said, God, just use me as an example in their lives. Even if they don't want to talk about God, I want to be example of the magnificence of God, the power of God, that they can be touched and their heart can be melted. Egypt. Notice Daniel 6:26, that second part. He said, men must tremble and fear before the God of day. I'm talking about what a proclamation. King Darius said, I want you to tremble because this is a real and true and living God. He goes on, he says, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. Daniel 6:27, he delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Are there any amens in the house? Say, I know the God like that. He is a wonderful, powerful God that has delivered me, has set me free. He's healed me. He's brought me out of darkness into the marvelous light when I didn't think I was going to make it. I'm telling you, God was there. Let God fight your battles. Look at this final verse of the day, Daniel 6:28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. His final point, and we're going to pull this all together. The Lord keeps on blessing me. Any witnesses out there? The Lord keeps on blessing me. A couple Sundays ago, I talked about double for your trouble. This is that same respect. Daniel had to go through some stuff, but God keeps on blessing him. Woodrow Crowe, he gives us a wonderful understanding of this prospering that we're going to talk about. The statement that Daniel prospered has reference to far more important things than material wealth. Daniel possessed the favor of God. Somebody say favor. Favor of God and men. Wisdom, longevity, faithfulness, godly convictions, and steadfastness in prayer. Let God fight your battles. I am so glad this encompasses what we're going through in our lives as we trust the Lord and let him fight our battles, that we know that blessings upon blessings are piled upon us. Luther Barnes, he sang this song. He said, every day of my life, I get a new blessing. Or the Lord sends new blessings my way, and he does it over and over again. Any hallelujahs? Come on, y'all. He says, you woke me up this morning, started me on my way. You gave me strength to make it through another day. You gave me eyes to see. You gave me a tongue to talk. I want to thank you, Jesus, for giving me legs to walk. I can move around. I can wave my hands. When you speak to me, I can understand. Well, I've got a home to live in where I can lay my head. I could have been sleeping in my grave, but you kept me alive instead. Any hallelujahs? But I love that. I love that chorus that he brings out. He says, you keep on blessing me. Sometimes we need to be reminded because the Lord is fighting our battles and we've got to let him go before us. You keep on blessing me over and over again, over and over again. You keep on blessing me. Are there any blessed folk that know that God has done exceedingly abundantly above what we can dare ask or think? I thank God for the life of Daniel, but more importantly, I thank God for Jesus. Maybe he was the one that showed up in the lion's den. Maybe he was the one that showed up with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. But I am so glad that he showed up and he came to die for our sins. You know what? All of us have sinned. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let God fight your battles. That's what Jesus did by coming from heaven to earth. He came to fight our battles. We deserve death. We understand that enemy, the accuser, said we should die because of our sins, but I'm so glad for the deliverer Jesus that carried our sins and bore our griefs. When we grasp that, we can give God the praise because we know that he is the one that has fought our battles. I just want to end with this portion of scripture that really lifts up what Jesus has done with his substitutionary work, knowing that he was the propitiation for us. Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Do we understand that Jesus stood in our place, but he was wounded for our transgression? He was bruised for our iniquities. Let God fight your battles. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. But I'm so glad that the scriptures are not over in that sixth verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. Any witnesses, knowing all of us have messed up, all of us have issues, but I love that in part, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let God fight your battles. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people, and he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Does that sound very similar to what Daniel was going through? But I'm so glad that God was fighting our battles. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his own knowledge, by righteousness servants, shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. There ought to be some folks that are getting up in their living rooms and walking around lifting up their hands, thanking for a God that has fought our battles. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the saints. Yes, he died. They put him in a gold grave, but I am so glad that cold grave could not hold him down. 3 days later, he got up out of that cold grave with all power and all glory for us, because he fought our battles and he won for us. Yes, we have the victory in Jesus. I thank God for using Daniel, taking him through that lion's den. But when we think about it, all of us deserve to be like the enemies of Daniel, thrown into that den and bones broken, death for eternity. But through Jesus and his prophetic work, he has carried it all for us. He fought our battles for us. Something that we couldn't do, he did it for us. There ought to be some shouts of praise. And if you're listening in and you don't know him today, I pray that today be your day, that you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. The scriptures say you will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Let God fight your battles. Man, he will change you. For the saints, I pray that you've been reminded today that it's not by our works of righteousness, lest any man should boast, but it's about God fighting our battles, God going before us. Let us stay in prayer. Let us realize that our tests can be turned into testimonies, and sometimes our tests are not even for us. It's for those that are around us, that we can be an example of God's glory. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this word. Man, I thank you for what you've done. Thank you for your scriptures, these 66 books from Genesis to Revelations, that you've shown us your majesty. Lord, forgive us for so many times forgetting it's you that fights our battles. So many times we get caught up within ourselves. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to submit ourselves to your will and your way, and to realize you are everything. You have paid the price for us. You have fought our battles, and you stand victoriously. Thank you, Jesus, for being seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us even right now. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your deliverance. You're an awesome God. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It is so good to be back with you, connecting virtually to take communion together. I am just blessed to think just all the gifts God has given to mankind to make this possible, that even those that are in your homes, or maybe you couldn't get to an in-person service because some other things that were going on, we can still partake in the Lord's Supper. Even before coming on, I was like, Bianca, just want to make sure you ain't got nothing against me or have anything against you, because we take this seriously. We want our lives to be pleasing to the Lord, and it's only by his wonderful grace and his mercy. So I want you to get your articles We just have our communion cups. I want you to prepare yourself. Maybe you don't have a communion cup, but you can get some bread and you get some juice. And even if you want to share in communion cups, just let us know. If you're not in our in-person services, hey, just send somebody to get some and we can get you some of those cups and we'll go from there. But it is just so good to have something to represent the body and the blood. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and get your Bibles. We're going to be focusing on 1 Corinthians, starting at that, the 11th chapter and the 23rd verse. So 1 Corinthians 11 and 23, go ahead and get that. And we just want to welcome God's presence. So I'm going to ask Bianca, if you just open us up in prayer and go ahead, let's go ahead and pray over this bread and this juice as we just thank God for his presence.
Let's pray. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for this wonderful time that honestly began as Passover, the Passover lamb, where the Israelites put the blood over the doorpost so that the death angel would pass over, Lord. And through the years, it has culminated into the death, burial, and resurrection of your Son, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you for Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. And now we take time to remember his death and his burial, which ended in resurrection, which ended in the salvation of our souls. So we ask that you would bless this bread and bless this juice and bless our hearts that we might rightly discern your body and that we might give you thanks for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Just want to go through a portion of the scripture today to really let us remember the weightiness of what we're doing. So often we can do this and we can forget the price that was paid. 1 Corinthians 11:23. I pray you have your Bibles or your devices and you can just walk through it with us. It says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you do this in remembrance of me.'" And this is the big part. "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And I that's just a heavy, heavy part to think that we're doing this and we're thinking about his death, burial, and resurrection. And also we're thinking about him coming back for us. Bianca, if you get that second part of the scriptures.
"Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body."
Now this is huge. So we're thinking if we don't get this right, then there's judgment to us. But there's a prescription in that 30th verse. It says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." And so that whole process, we're learning that whole process, and that 30th encompasses, "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." And that heavy, that you can find it looking at that. "For many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Man, we want to make sure that we get this right. Then he talks about, "For we judge ourselves, we shall not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world." And so God really gives us a prescription to kind of work this out. And it's all in his word. And so as we think about Christ going to the upper room with his disciples, I want you to, if there's anything, man, if you, the Holy Spirit's convicting you, ask him for your forgiveness right now. To just cleanse it. If you can't get to that person, if you're looking at this, guess what? You can push pause and you can text somebody, you can call them, get it right before you take this communion. If God is bringing someone up into your heart so that you can take this right and it can be healing. It can be healing and not judgment of death or dying within your life. It can be a process of healing. So Jesus goes to that upper room and he's with his disciples. Passover, as Bianca prayed. And they don't understand what's going on. But Jesus, he gets the bread and he breaks it. And he says, this represents my body that's going to be broken for you. So as often as we eat, let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together. He gets that goblet that's often shared and passed around. It's red. It's the color of blood. I just often think about what God had to work out in the foundation of the earth to make sure that grapes, you know, were able to bleed a red or that color red, because he was going to be used in that upper room with his son. And Jesus picks up that goblet and said, this represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. As often as you drink, let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us drink together. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the saving blood of Christ? Remember that song? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Isn't it good to know that we are saved? We have been delivered. We have been set free. Aren't you glad? God is the one who fights our battles. Well, thank you for sharing this communion time with us. And as you go through your week, don't forget about the blood of the Lamb. And remember how we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You be blessed.